Well, people aren't flying a whole lot these days, I understand. Some of the airlines are trying to figure it out and knowing what to do with COVID-19 happening. I've heard some that you can get some amazingly cheap tickets right now, some cheap flights if you're willing to take the risk. And I'm not sure I've got anywhere that I need to or want to go to bad enough to do that right now today in this present time in order just to save a few bucks. But some people are doing that. I remember my mom telling me when I was young, that when you see a sale that's a good deal, that somewhere she would say this, she'd say, it's not a deal if you don't want it. Doesn't matter how good the deal is, it's not a deal if it's not something that you want. And that's good advice, and I don't want to fly right now enough to take the good deal. But some people are doing it, and I suppose it's working out okay for them. Still, before the coronavirus thing, it's become pretty popular, pretty easy to fly, everyday thing for some people, regular occurrence. And I got a couple flying stories for us as we get started today. I heard a story about a man who had a grave fear of flying, and he had to make a trip. So before he made the trip, he purchased $200,000 in a life insurance policy. On the flight, they served him this nice Chinese dinner. He enjoyed it. He's just beginning to finally relax. And then he gets to his fortune cookie, and he opens it up, and he reads the fortune, and it says, a recent investment will pay great dividends. And he was worried. I heard another story about a flight, and there's a plane experiencing some turbulence, and one of the passengers was getting a little antsy on board, so he called one of the stewards over to come back over and to get some comfort, and he said to the steward, he said, sir, I'm not worried or anything, but I'm just kind of wondering, how often do jets like this one crash? And the steward said, well, as a rule, only once. And obviously, that didn't bring the man a whole lot more comfort. He was pretty worried. You know, it's not very comforting when people say, when it's your time, because what if it's the pilot's time, right? That's not going to be a very good time for me if I'm on the plane. If it's not my time, but it's the pilot's time, then I'm going to be in trouble. Flying does cause some people worry. We're in a message series where we're saying that, you know what, it's okay to ask. It's okay to ask. We're acknowledging that we all have some tough questions in life that we don't always know what to do with. And many times we get to the point that we feel like we're not allowed to ask these burning questions that we have, particularly of God. We feel like we can't do that. Well, I'm telling you right here and now that it's okay to ask. God's big enough to handle our asking. He'd rather us ask him than go through our whole life crippled by the inquiry. So just go ahead and ask. And for this series, I'm drawing from a couple different message series that I've done over the years about questions, and I'm bringing them kind of up to date because they are so much more relevant today even than in the day that I've shared them before. And so I'm bringing them up to date and using them. So if you've been around over the last 7 years I've been here, you might hear some things that sound familiar. That's the reason why I'm reusing some stuff for today. But we need to be refreshed with some of the answers to our questions, especially in the times that we're in, and it's good for us to keep asking them. And one of the questions that's been on a lot of people's minds through the whole COVID-19 time and through the protesting and the riot times and through the sands of the Sahara time, they talked about that at one point, and then the upcoming election time, and well, let's just be real, so far in most of 2020, one of the questions that many have had is how do I stop from worrying? How do I stop from worrying? Am I right? And truth be told, in just our regular, normal, everyday year, normal, every regular day life, that question's a struggle for many of us. Fear is on overdrive right now in our nation. It's on overdrive, and worry leads to fear, and fear leads to worry, and worry leads to fear, and fear leads to worry, and it's this vicious cycle that gets you worse and worse and worse off. How do I stop from worrying is a question that we have to deal with in life in order to deal with life. Well, hey, it's okay to ask the question. And God's got a whole lot to say to us to answer this question. So this is the question that we're going to dive into today. Here's how Solomon asks the question about worry in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. He says, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. He's saying some people sit around worrying so much about what might happen, or worrying that things aren't perfect, that they miss living. They miss the chance to have a harvest at all. We all worry sometimes, don't we? And worry is essentially a control issue. Here's a definition for you of worry. Worry is trying to control the uncontrollable. Worry is trying to control the uncontrollable. You can't control your health, so you worry about your health. My grandmother, I think I've talked about this before, my grandmother used to keep this thick medical book next to her chair. And she would take that medical book and she would read it and read the different symptoms and diagnose herself. And it would cause her to worry more and more about her health. We can't control our job, so we worry about our job. We can't control the economy, so we worry about the economy. We can't control the choices that our children are making, so we worry about our children. We can't control our future, so we worry about the future. We can't control COVID-19, and so we worry about COVID-19. And the truth is that worrying never solves anything. All it does is makes us miserable. It makes us miserable. Jesus had a lot to say about worrying in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. And in this passage, he reveals five reasons we don't need to worry. The first reason is this, is that worry is unreasonable. It's unreasonable. Matthew 6, 25, let's look at it with me. It says this, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing?" Now, what's Jesus saying in this verse? He's saying that worrying is irrational and it's unreasonable because, in the first place, we often worry about all the wrong things. He says, this doesn't make sense. It's useless. You're worrying about what you're going to drink and what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear. And he's saying, if you're going to worry, those are the wrong things to worry about. They're small, they're trivial, very meaningless issues. What about meaningful issues? What Jesus is saying is, if you're going to worry about something, make it matter. Don't worry about the external, worry about the eternal. The eternal. If it's not going to last, then you know what? You don't need to worry about it. You don't need to worry about it. In the second place, Jesus is saying to worry about something you can change, friends, is silly. And to worry about something you can't change is just useless. If you can change it, change it. If you can't, to worry about it is useless. Either way, it's unreasonable to worry. Here's the second. Second is worry is unnatural. In Matthew 6:26, Jesus gives us an illustration from nature. He says, "Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are?" Look now at Matthew 6, 28 through 29. We'll come back to verse 27 in a bit. Let's look here. "And why do you worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies in the field and how they grow. They don't work or make clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are." First, Jesus talked to us about birds in the air. And you know, if there's anything on God's welfare program, God's welfare system, it's got to be birds. I mean, what do they do, right? What do they really do? They chirp. They flitter, they fly around, they target my van, especially this spring. There's been so many birds out here, and there's one parking spot. Every time I park there, the birds nailed it. And you're probably like, "Well, why do you keep parking there?" Well, I'm a slow learner. And I eventually moved on to some other place in the parking lot, and then they eventually stopped, and I could come back. But what do birds really do? Yet God says, "I take care of them, and if I take care of them, aren't you more valuable than they are? Aren't you more valuable than they are?" Then he says, "Look at the flowers. Most flowers aren't even going to last 6 or 8 weeks in the silly drought we've had. You'll be lucky if they last that long. But look at the intricate design that God's given them. Look at the attention that God's given to the flowers. They aren't even going to last. And look how much attention God's given them in designing them." Here's the point. Animals don't worry. Plants don't worry. The only thing in all of God's created that worries are human beings, people, you and me. We're the only things that God created that doesn't trust him. We're the only things that worry, and that's unnatural. You say, well, that's natural for me because I was a born worrier. I was a born worrier. Have you ever said that of yourself or heard somebody say that of themselves? You know what? No. You're not. They're not, because worrying is a learned response. It's a learned response. Look at an infant. My wife and I have had four of them now, so we have some experience. Look at an infant. They don't care, have a care in the world. They don't worry whether or not they're going to be fed or clothed or cleaned. It never crosses their mind. Why? Because they haven't learned what it means to worry, to be worried. They haven't learned it yet. We learn worry. We learn it from our parents and our peers and our brothers and sisters. We just pick it up along the way. You may have been born with a natural inclination, because we're all born sinful, toward being a worrier, but you're not a born worrier. That's an ungodly belief that you've come to believe. It's something you've learned. And since it's something that you've learned, guess what? It's something you can unlearn. People with bad eating habits can unlearn them and learn to eat better. People with poor sleeping habits can unlearn them and go to bed earlier and get up earlier if that's what's needed. And people with a bad habit of worry can unlearn that habit and worry less and come to the point that they don't worry at all. Here's the third thing. Worry is unhealthy. Listen, your body wasn't geared to handle worry. God didn't wire us for that. When we worry, we take it out on our bodies. We have stomach problems and neck problems and back problems and digestive problems. Worry causes all kinds of ailments, and your body, it wasn't designed for it. I've known so many people over the years who've been worriers, and all the worry, it just starts to deteriorate them. Worry keeps your mind and your body in a constant state of unrest, and that's not healthy for your bodies. Plus, many people allow their worry to lead them to overeat or to undereat or to overdrink or overmedicate, and that just wreaks havoc on their health. And many people they clench their teeth. They may clench them all night in bed and clench them through the day. And not only is that tough on your teeth, but you know what? It brings those tension headaches, which are worry headaches. Worry makes you uptight, and it impacts your health. Fourth, worry is unhelpful. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't change a thing. It's useless. Now let's back up to Matthew 6:27. It says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Jesus is saying, look, why are you worrying? Why are you worrying? Worrying can't make you taller. It can't make you thinner. It can't make you bigger or smarter. It can't make you live longer. In fact, it's proven to do just the opposite. Worrying doesn't work. When you worry about a problem, it doesn't bring you one inch closer to a solution. It doesn't work. It doesn't change anything. Worrying can't change the past no matter how much you'd like it to, and it can't change the future no matter how much you worry about it. So it can't change the past, it doesn't change the future, what does it do? It messes up the day. It messes up the day. That's all it does. Whenever you worry, all you're doing is robbing yourself of pleasure right now. Worry does do one thing. It makes you miserable. It makes you miserable. It changes you from a happy person and turns you into a miserable person. During the COVID-19 pandemic and during the riots, some people have been like glued to the TV, to the news, and to the internet to watch all the news about what's going on. Now hear me. With all the love in my heart, hear me. If you're doing that, stop it. Stop it. Stop watching it all. It's not helping you or anybody else. It's only inducing more and more worry and fear. And I've got some breaking news for you. You want some breaking news? Here's the breaking news. The news sources have very little news on these issues to really tell you. They're only remixing, repackaging, reemphasizing the same news they've already given over and over again, because they don't really know any more about this than you or I do, or how it's going to get any better. Now, I'm not telling you to bury your heads in the sand. I'm just saying that most of the stuff that you're going to hear on there, it's not helpful. It's just going to make you more worried. Here's the fifth. Fifth thing about worry is unnecessary. Matthew 6:30 says, and if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? He's saying worry's unnecessary. If you know God, you don't need to worry. Why? Because he promises to take care of your needs. So trust him. He's your heavenly father. Trust him. If one of my kids comes to me and needs something, not just wants it, but needs it, they know that I'll provide for their needs. I'll find a way to do that. Hopefully they don't sit around and wonder and worry about how or if we're going to meet their needs. They just know that we'll meet their needs. They already trust and believe that I know that we know where and how we're going to get it. It's my job to provide for their needs. If you're a Christian, your heavenly Father has promised to meet all your needs. You put your trust in him, and he keeps his promises. You don't have to worry where he's going to come up with it. If you've come to Jesus and said, Jesus, I want you to be number one in my life. I want to follow you and your plan for my life. Then God assumes responsibility for all your needs, not your greeds, but all your needs in life. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, if I don't know God, and if I don't know what he's like, then obviously I'm not going to trust him. And if I'm not going to trust him, the bottom line is I'm going to live a life of worry. You either trust God in your life or you worry. You trust him or you worry. Many say, well, I trusted Jesus for my salvation, but I don't know. I still worry. I worry all the time. Now think about the illogic in that. I can trust God to get me out of hell and to get me into heaven, but I can't trust him to take care of my problems today. Think about the illogic in that. Listen, when God saved you, he solved the biggest problem that you've got. Everything else is small potatoes. It's peanuts in comparison. So what are you worried about? If he's going to help you with the biggest and the most important problem in life, why isn't he going to help you with everything else? If God loves us enough to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for us, don't you think he loves us enough to take care of our other needs? It's like you're hitchhiking across the desert with this big backpack on your back, and you're going across the desert. You're about halfway across the desert, and a car comes along, and you've got this pack on your back, and you're getting hot, and you're getting tired, and you're getting thirsty, and the driver stops, and he offers you a ride. And you say, oh, okay, thank you. I didn't know if I was going to make it. I wasn't sure I was going to get through. And so you get in the car, and then another hour you're driving down the road, and the driver happens to look over and see you, and you still got this big backpack on your back. And he says, well, why don't you take that thing off and throw it in the back seat? You don't need to carry that. Throw it in the back seat. And you say, oh, no, it's okay. You just carry me. I'll carry all my problems. I got it. I'll carry this load. It's enough for you just to take care of me. I'll carry all the rest. You know, a lot of people do that with God. They say, God, you just get me into heaven, and I'll take care of the rest. Because I don't want to give up control. I don't want to give up control. I'll take care of all my bills, all my pressures, all my problems, all my stresses, all my loneliness, all my difficulties with health, family, different things like that. God, I got all that. You just keep me from going to hell. And God says, that doesn't make sense. Worry's unnecessary. It's unreasonable. It's unhealthy. It's unnatural. And it's unhelpful. So how do I stop worrying? How do I stop? Jesus gives us four things in the Sermon on the Mount that we need to do to stop worrying. The first is this. You got to get to know God. Now, just know who he is. You got to get to know God. That's the bottom line, the foundation. Get to know God. Look at what Jesus is saying in Matthew 6:32. He says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. What he's saying is people who don't know God and the way that God works, they worry about these things, And God knows what you need. If you don't know God, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you know what? You ought to worry. You have every reason to worry. If you don't know Jesus, essentially you're trying to walk this life on your own. You're out there in this big bad world living out on your own by your own power, your own strength. If it's going to be, you know what? It's up to me. That's the attitude. You don't have any external power source for all the problems and all the pressures that you're going to face for your entire life. And you ought to be worried. But for Christians, friends, it's different. We have the Heavenly Father who's promised to take care of us. Yet God says to some of us Christians, he says, hey, you're my children, but you're acting like you're orphans. Children get special privileges. They get taken care of by the parents. It's their responsibility to take care of their children. You're my children. Why are you acting like you're an orphan? Every time you worry as a Christian, you're acting like someone who doesn't know God. You're acting like there is no God. You're acting like it all depends on you. You're saying, I don't really believe God's going to meet all my needs. I don't believe God's going to take care of me. I don't really believe that God has made all those promises that he's going to take care of me. In fact, I'm living like I don't believe that there is a God at all. If you're a worrier, maybe you need to get intentional about really getting to know God. Really getting to know who he is and how much he loves you and how real he is and how true he is and how much he's going to care for you. The first thing is Jesus says to us in John 14:1, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. The second thing to do to stop worrying is put God first in every area of your life. Every area of your life. Let's back up to Matthew 6:31. It says, so don't worry about these things saying, what will I eat or what will I drink or what will I wear? Now let's skip down to verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Everything you need. This verse tells us that we need to spend far less time worrying about it, even to simple things in life, and a lot more time just living right. Just living right. And we can know that God's got all the rest of it covered. Your Heavenly Father already knows what you need. So often we act like God is unaware of our needs, but he sees it all. But notice his condition. I will meet all your needs if you seek me. Put me first in your life. You see, anytime you let something replace God as first in your life, you're going to worry. You were made by God. You were made for God. You were made for God's purpose. You were made to have God in the center of your life. Anytime you take God out of the center of your life and put anything else there, no matter how good it is or you think it is, you know what? You're going to worry. You're going to worry. You're setting yourself up for anxiety. You see, because the truth is that when anything else is first in your life, it will eventually fail you. So your worry is valid. But when God is first place in your life, he'll never fail you. He'll never fail you. The third thing to do to stop worrying is live one day at a time. Just one day at a time. Look at Matthew 6:34. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Jesus is saying, don't open the umbrella until it starts to rain. Have you ever seen somebody at a parade? A parade where it looks like it's going to rain, and they're standing there, or they're sitting by the side, and they got their umbrella up. It's not raining. But it looks like it's going to rain. So they got their umbrella up, it's open, waiting for the parade to come through, and then the whole parade goes through and not a drop of rain ever falls. You ever see something like that? Close the stinking umbrella until you need it, because you may never need it. You may never need it. Don't spend all today worrying about tomorrow, the incoming rain tomorrow, because it's real possible that if you stop worrying, you'll find some sunshine. Right? This is a tangent. I'm going to go on a tangent for a moment. But it makes me think about the people I see. Hear this correctly. people I see by themselves driving their car wearing a COVID-19 mask. By themselves in the car. It's fine. It's a good thing to wear them in your groups of lots of people. I get that. But if you're by yourself in your car or taking a walk or in your front yard and you're wearing a mask, you're worrying about a tomorrow that I can guarantee isn't going to come because you can't get COVID-19 unless you get it from somebody that has it. If you're alone, you're missing the other person part of the equation. Anyway, Jesus is saying there are 2 days you never need to worry about, yesterday and tomorrow. Yesterday and tomorrow. Have you ever thought about the fact that today is a tomorrow that you're worried about yesterday? Did you catch that one? Today is a tomorrow that you're worried about yesterday. There's enough going on today, so stop worrying about tomorrow. Leave tomorrow in the hands of God. Why should I live one day at a time? Well, there's a couple of good reasons. First, because when you're worrying about tomorrow, you can't enjoy today. You can't stop and smell the roses. You miss today's blessings. You're too busy worrying about what's going to come later. Now, it's okay to plan for tomorrow. As a matter of fact, Jesus would tell you, you ought to plan for tomorrow, but you can't live in tomorrow. You can only live into today. Today. Second, when you're always worrying about tomorrow, the future gets overwhelming. You don't know all the problems that you're going to have for the rest of your life, fortunately, but you're going to have them. God has allowed the future to come to us, friends, in bite-sized pieces. They're called 24-hour segments. We call them days. Jesus says live one of them at a time. One of them at a time. You don't have to face all of the future today. You don't need all the power today. God's going to give you the strength and the grace that you need when you get there. You only need the power for today. Do you remember Jesus' prayer that he taught the disciples? He says, give us today our daily bread, right? Our daily bread, not our weekly bread, not our monthly bread, not our yearly bread. God, give me the strength I need today. I don't need tomorrow's strength because I'm not in tomorrow yet. Live one day at a time. One day at a time. The fourth thing to do to stop worrying, probably the most important, is trust God. Trust God to care for all your needs. You got to trust him. Jesus says trust because the root of worry is lack of trust. The root of worry is lack of trust. That's why he said in Matthew 6:30, why do you have so little faith? So little faith. Worry and trust can't fit in the same heart. They can't fit in the same mind. Listen, when you have trust in your heart, worry can't get in. Did you hear me? When you have real faith and trust in your heart and in your mind, the worry can't get in. They don't fit together. 1 Peter 5:7 says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. He cares about you. Give them all means you drop them, you cut them loose, you let them go like a 100-pound weight, a 100-pound bag of sand. You just unload it on God. How do you do that? How do you give it all to God? How do you give him your worries and your cares? There are a couple of ways. One way is to memorize the promises of the Bible. Memorize scripture, promises of the Bible. Now, I'm not a champion scripture memorization guy. I'll just tell you that right off the bat. But I can tell you that the promises I have remembered in scripture have really gotten me through some worrisome times. Verses like, for I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you always to the very end of the age. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I've not put all scripture to memory, but those that I have greatly impacted my worries. And another great one, a whole psalm, which I've not put to memory yet, but I encourage you to go to, is Psalm 91, particularly in the times that we're in today. You're going to read Psalm 91, you're going to say, oh my goodness, this matches our day. Read Psalm 91 every day if you're worrying and begin to memorize it and make it yours. It will help your worry. The second way that we give God all our worries and cares is to pray. Friends, pray instead of worry. Every time you have a crisis, you have two options. You can panic or you can pray. Panic or pray. Those are the options. Paul says in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. If you feel worried, isn't that what you really want? God's peace? Isn't that what you want? Of course it is. If we prayed as much as we worried, we'd have a whole lot less to worry about. And here's the simple fact. If it's not worth praying about, you know what? It's not worth worrying about either, right? Think about that. If it's not worth taking to God to pray about, it's certainly not worth us to worry about. Jesus is saying, pray instead of panicking. What's the result? Incredible peace of mind, incredible peace of heart. You'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than any human mind can even comprehend or understand. If you don't believe it, friends, if you don't believe that prayer brings peace, let's try it. Can we try it? We'll try it right now. What are you worried about? Are you worried about COVID-19? Some people are worried about COVID-19. Some people aren't here. Apparently, they're worried about COVID-19. And let's pray about it. Right now, let's pray together. Father God, we know that you are greater than illness or virus. We know that you are greater than enemy or stronghold. We know that you are greater than anything in this world or anyone that tries to do things that are against you in this world. We know that you're greater than conspiracy or truth, or you're greater than all the things that people argue about on Facebook. God, you're greater than COVID-19. And so, God, we are trusting you. Not what the news source says, not what somebody else throws out somewhere else says, not that we what we think we believe or don't believe. God, we trust you. And we give this whole situation before you, whether we're afraid that we're going to get COVID-19 or we know somebody that has it or we've already been sick or whether we are worried about what it's going to do to our schools or anything else, God, we're trusting you. So we right now take this whole issue and we place it at the foot of the cross at your feet and we're saying, God, take it and take the worry away, God, and instead fill us with your peace and with your presence. To know that you're with us no matter what happens in this world. God, we aren't going to worry. We're going to trust you, and we ask for your peace. Maybe you're worried about your job right now, your finances, or the economy. Friends, let's pray about it. God, there may be people in this room, people watching at home, that are out of work right now because of this virus, or maybe they're out of work for other reasons. Or maybe they're working, but they're just not making quite what they think they need to. They're worried about their money. Some people are worried about the economy. It just dropped. It crashed. And now we're worried about what's going to happen to it. Is it going to come back? Are we going to go to a cashless society? All the different things that are out there that have us worrying. God, we're not going to worry. We're going to trust you. And so, God, we're trusting you for our provision. We're trusting you to take care of our needs. We're trusting you to be in control of our economy, of our country, of our world. God, whatever you want to do with it, you do with it, but we want to live by your peace and not to worry. And so we're giving it to you and we're trusting you in the name of Jesus. Some of you are worried right now about a health condition or the health of someone else, and you're right now thinking about panicking. No, don't panic. Let's pray about it. Let's do it right now. God, some of us might be going through something right now. We got a diagnosis this week. Maybe we got a diagnosis like yesterday or the day before, or maybe a diagnosis is coming next week. Maybe we've been dealing with something for a while. Maybe it's a chronic pain or a chronic issue. Maybe we're just worried all the time, like my grandmother, and we're hearing about stuff, so we're afraid we're going to get it, or we're afraid we're going to get the virus. God, we right now are turning our health over to you. And Lord, I'm praying that those that are facing physical conditions right now at home or in this room, I'm asking for miracles. I'm asking for the power in the hand of Jesus to touch hearts and minds and souls and bodies and spirits, to bring healing that's needed. And God, I'm also praying where that's not going to come right now, if your answer is no to some of that, that God, just a peace that takes us through the storm, that we'll trust you and receive your peace. Some of you are worried about your family, family members or friends who don't know Jesus. They don't know Jesus, and that's really scaring you right now. Well, let's stop and let's pray about that right now. God, I know I have family members that I have concern about. I don't know if they know you, if they've given their life to you, and I certainly have friends that are in the same place. And people in this room have friends and family that they're concerned about, that if today's their last day, tomorrow they're not sure where they're going to be. And God, we can't be worrying about that. We have to trust you because nobody loves them more than you do. God, you love my family and friends more than I do. And you know their heart, and your desire for them to know you is greater than my desire is for them to know you. And so, God, I'm not going to worry, but I'm going to place them in your hands, and I'm going to trust your work in their lives, that you will bring them to know you. And God, I just receive your peace instead. And some of us are worried about our country right now, right? We're worried about the presidential election that's coming. You know what? Let's not worry about that. Let's pray about it. God, we want to give you the election coming up in November in our country. We don't even know how the vote's going to happen yet. Some people are worried about that. Is it going to mail in? Is it going to get cheated? Are we going to be able to go in person? And God, we don't know who's going to win. And some of us think this guy should win or that guy should win. And Lord, the truth is that the Bible tells us that you don't allow, nobody's an authority that you don't allow to be there. And so there's presidents and politicians that some of us say they shouldn't have been there or they should be there. And it's not our call. It's your call who's going to be there. For whatever your will and purpose is, we see right now. We see our economy that feels broken and a sickness over our nation and our world, and we see this one little blip of a chapter of everything, but you see it all at once, and so you know what needs to happen next and who needs to be there. And so, God, we're not going to worry. We're going to trust you. We're going to trust for you who our president's going to be in 2021. And we're going to trust you, God, for who's going to be the other political leaders and those kind of things. And our nation, we're trusting you, God, to wake our nation up and revive it for God. God, we're going to give it to you, and we're going to receive your peace instead. And God, we know that you are with us in all of our worries and concerns, and we do not need to worry. We need to trust. So we give them to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let me just ask you, do you feel any more peace? Because I feel more peace. I feel a lot more peace. Just by taking to God. Now that peace might leave you in 10 minutes when you hit the car and you see the next notification on your newsfeed on your phone. So what are you going to do? You're going to worry? Are you going to take it back to God? That peace may leave you Monday when you get a call from the doctor's office. Oh, no. Are you going to worry? Or are you going to trust God? Friends, it's up to us what we're going to do. If you're starting to be worried about something, stop. Stop yourself and pray about it. Take it to God and let it go. And then you go on to live in the moment. To live the right now and to live right with God as you know it. He's promised to, and he will ease the weight of your worry. Put it into God's hands. The things that worry us, nothing, all the worry in the world aren't going to fix that we can't control. God can control. So just give them to them, which in my case is a whole lot of things. So what's got you worried this morning? What are you worried about? Whatever it is, give it to God. Give it today. Prayer is asking God, and it's okay to ask. And so ask it, and then just leave it with him. Don't walk out of here. Don't tune us out today if you're watching either live or it recorded later on today. Don't leave this experience with a worry in your heart or in your mind, because those things that are beyond your control aren't beyond God's control. You just need to give them to him and trust in faith. Replace the worry in your heart and your mind with trust. God, we want to trust you. And so we just surrender it all to you right now. We can't control it. And so it's time to stop trying. That's going to be the hardest thing for some of us, to unleash our own grip. These things that have worried us, what they've done is they've held us captive, and it's time to let go of them, to let go and to trust you. So God, we give them to you now. Help us trust you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Friends, this fear, worry cycle, one leads into the other. Fear, worry, fear, worry, fear, worry. What it is? It's a trap. And it's a trap that's been set by the enemy, by the devil. It's been set because his prime initiative here is to take our focus off of trusting God and to rob your joy. And when you're stuck worry, fear, you miss the joy of living and trusting God. So at some point, we got to say, I'm done with the trap, and I'm breaking the cycle. I'm breaking out. And I'm going to trust God. And I'm going to leave the worry and the fear behind. I can't control it. It's not doing me any good. It's doing me a lot of harm. So I'm moving away from it. I'm going to live in trust. We can do this. God created us to do this. So let's live into it. God bless you. I love you all. We'll see you next week. Have a great, great week.